and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A lot of shaking in central Japan. The U.S. Geological Survey says the quake struck Ishikawa Prefecture on the main island of Honshu. Japanese authorities put it at a 7.6. Japan's Meteorological Office says it's one of some 155 earthquakes that have rocked the region since the new year started. The U.S. is ready to provide any necessary assistance to Japan. More on that from CBS's Linda Kenyon.
In a statement, President Biden says, "Our thoughts are with the Japanese people during this difficult time." The magnitude 7.6 quake that struck central Japan has killed several people, destroyed buildings, knocked out power, and prompted residents to seek higher ground. Mr. Biden says his administration has been in touch with Japanese officials and stands ready to help in any way. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Japan's prime minister says he has dispatched a number of self-defense force troops to quake-impacted areas. While Israel's military says it is withdrawing some troops from Gaza, it also says its intense campaign there will continue for 6 months at least. CBS's Ian Lee reports from Tel Aviv.
Men rescued an injured child as the sound of explosions chased them in Khan Yunis. But hospitals in Gaza are so full, doctors treat injured children on the floor. In Rafah, at this cramped tent city, everyone hopes the new year will bring peace. While this 11-year-old simply states, "I wish not to die in 2024.
Russia launched a record 90 Shahed-type drones over Ukraine during the early hours of the new year, and Russian President Vladimir Putin says his country will intensify its attack on its neighbors. The wave of drone strikes in Ukraine continued throughout today. At least 9 people have been injured in California's Bay Area following a train derailment and fire. KCBS's Karen Creighton says it happened this morning.
9 people were moved to medical facilities with minor injuries after a BART train was partially derailed. Passengers were evacuated from the train and walked back to the Orinda station as the train caught fire. Enrique Gonzalez was asleep, headed home to Pittsburgh when the train stopped. He says the operator stopped the train to fix something, and when it started again, he saw flames.
Heard pops, loud pops, and then saw the flames come up, so we just jumped out all onto the tracks.
Your pharmacy may charge more this year for some medications. CBS's Michael George.
Major drug makers, including Pfizer, Sanofi, and Takeda, plan to raise prices on more than 500 drugs in January, according to data analyzed by healthcare research firm 3-Axis Advisors. This comes at the same time the Biden administration is pushing for significantly discounted drugs.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's presidential primary ballot should be determined Tuesday. The Presidential Preference Selection Committee meets to decide which names will be on Wisconsin's April ballot. Last week, the Wisconsin Elections Commission threw out a complaint to keep Donald Trump's name off the ballot. Policymakers will propose new legislative maps for Wisconsin in January. The state Supreme Court has ruled the current maps unconstitutional. Bob Moline is a volunteer with a grassroots organization called Grow Action.
This is the best chance we have for truly fair maps, and it's the right process.
Court-appointed consultants will consider the maps, and new boundaries are to be established by spring. Republicans who drew the current maps object to the idea that the boundaries are unfairly biased. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Packers crushed the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers dominated the Vikings 33-10 on New Year's Eve and keep their playoff hopes alive. The Packers defense held the Vikings' Justin Jefferson to just 5 catches for 59 yards and no touchdowns. With Eric Stokes suffering another hamstring injury and Jair Alexander suspended, I asked defensive back Corey Ballantyne, when did he learn that he would get to play?
Oh, I had no idea. I had no idea till maybe Saturday.
Ballantyne intercepting a Jaren Hall pass that set up a touchdown for the Packers' Jaden Reed. Hall was making his first start at quarterback at home for the Vikings here at U.S. Bank Stadium.
I just couldn't get into a rhythm. You know, couldn't spit the ball around the field consistently. Just didn't have a good feel on it.
Packers linebacker Preston Smith.
Guys were causing pressure. Guys were not letting the quarterback be comfortable. He was not allowing big plays to happen. There was just a lot of great things happening with the defense today.
Preston, what's the best thing you think your defense did tonight?
We finished the game strong.
That's Packers linebacker Preston Smith. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 20s. And mostly cloudy again tomorrow, high mid 30s. A few flurries tomorrow night, then more clouds and cooler Wednesday, high low 30s. Some sunshine returns on Thursday, highs near 30 degrees. It's 24 right now.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome to Nightlight. We tracked down Mike Toomey. He's a comedian and he's a WGN morning host in Chicago, but he knows Batman more than anybody I know. We had to get Mike's opinion. He is with us now. I am proud and honored to welcome renowned stand-up comedian Mike Toomey. Hey, Mike.
Well, Pete, I don't know if I deserve all that kind of.
Are you saying I built you up too much?
I'm so happy to be joining you right now.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And I don't know. Well, first of all, I just want to say Mike does a Christmas show in Southeast Wisconsin. Is it Kenosha, Mike?
Well, this year it was in Kansasville, which is, it's near Racine. It's near, I forget what else it's near, but it's out there.
Yeah.
It's not far. Okay. It's not far.
And you've been doing it for years now, and it's like a big hit down there, right?
It is. It does really well, and people come out to see it, and then I end up doing a couple in Illinois as well. And this year I did it at Rosemont Zanies.
Oh, very nice. Okay, so this Wisconsin show, I'm sure you sell out, but I can tell people now and get a head start for next year. Can they buy tickets already?
No, they're going to have to probably wait till like October. I appreciate that you're giving everybody a heads up.
Well, it's a great show. It gets great reviews. I highly recommend it next year. Go see Mike Toomey wherever the show is. You can follow him on Twitter or Facebook or whatever and get the details because it's a really great show. But
thank you.
Mike, you're welcome. You and I did stand up for years. I remember you talking about Batman almost incessantly, almost ad nauseum.
Yes.
And you're a fan. What do you think about this George Clooney news? I mean, he's acting like everybody's calling for him to play Batman. Does anybody care?
No. You know, first off, he's in his 60s, and there is no iteration of Batman in his 60s in any of the comics. There's an older Batman in The Dark Knight Returns, but there's a cartoon series called, what is it called, where a kid is Batman and Bruce Wayne trains him. Batman Beyond, it's called.
Oh, yeah.
He could do that. But you're right. Nobody's asking him to do it. He just feels so terribly about how that turned out that he's almost like bending you off if you're about to attack him. Like you're about to make fun of him. It's like you're about to make fun of him. No, that movie sucked. I don't want anything to ever do with any Batman ever again. You know?
Right. He's making fun of the nipple suit. It's like, you know, you could have said no to that. Don't throw the wardrobe department under the bus. You're George Clooney.
Right. And he said, you know, he took it for commercial reasons because he thought it'd be successful because it was a booming franchise. And it wasn't long after they even started shooting it where he started giving little clues. Like he'd say stuff like, boy, I hope I'm not the guy to run this into the ground. Boy, I hope I don't. The movie wasn't even out yet, and he was saying things like that. You know, if you've seen it, right? You've seen it, right?
Oh, yeah, years ago.
They're playing hockey with a giant diamond.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
And then he pulled out his credit card and it has a bat insignia on it. And he pulls it out of his belt and goes, don't leave home without it. And then puts it back in his belt.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, because that's what Batman wants, is a lot of attention to himself.
Right.
He has
right.
a vanity card. That movie, Mike, got 11% on Rotten Tomatoes from critics and 16% from audience. Like, usually the audience still likes it because it's Batman or it's some big caramel comic book character. 16%. That's hard to do.
Well, you know, here's why it got that high. Because people go in who love the character and they just want to see that character come to life on screen.
Yeah.
And then they watch, they go, there he is. And then they leave and then they get home. And then a few years pass and they're like, what was I watching?
They get home and they feel sick to their stomach and they can't figure out why.
Yeah. And they can't go to sleep. Like, they'll fall asleep for a minute and then they'll get up out of bed.
So, all right. So you are such a fan of Batman. The word on the street is, and I've got my ear to the ground. You can channel previous Batmans. Is that true?
Yes. Yes, I can do that. It's not all of them, but some of them. The ones who have left us on occasion. Yes. I've been able to channel and reach. Yes.
Do you think you could try? My guest, by the way, is Mike Toomey. He's a phenomenal comedian and he's on the WGN Morning Show. If you're listening from Chicago, we're talking about Batman and George Clooney saying he will never play Batman again. And I know Mike is the biggest fan. And if you think, do you think it's something you could channel tonight on the show here?
Sure. Let me see what I can do here. Let me see if I can slowly morph into the Cape Crusader. Mr. Swallow, what a pleasure to join you.
Is this Adam West?
It is. And I tell you what, I'm up in the clouds and I'm enjoying this conversation because when I wanted George Clooney, I said, you're out of your mind.
Well, now, Adam, didn't you, when they were casting Michael Keaton, didn't you say you wanted to play Batman and you were probably as old as Clooney? And I mean no disrespect.
I was 60 at the time. I wanted it so badly. In the movie, they tried Keaton, and that didn't work. And then they tried Kilmer, but he was a jerk. And then it was Clooney. But what about West? Don't they know that I'm the best?
Very nicely done, Adam. Hey, so Adam, you guys did a Batman movie in the 70s that didn't get great reviews, but it's kind of become like a cult favorite. How did you feel about that at the time? Did you feel like that was your Clooney moment in the Batman suit?
Of course not. I never disrespect the role that made me who I am. We took a little break between season one and season two. And because of that movie budget, we were afforded a bat copter and a bat cycle. I'll never complain about that. It was where we matched wits with not just the Joker, but the Joker, the Penguin, the Riddler.
Yeah. You guys had your work cut out for you. You took a break. Is that when you put all the weight on for the second part? Or?
Yeah. It was pure West. There was no added weights. Hold on a second.
Oh, yeah.
Hello. Hello.
Adam's getting a call, I think.
Hello. Who's this?
Oh, this is Pete Schwabe with Nightlight on Civic Media.
Hello. Hello, Peter.
Who's that? What happened to Adam?
Adam is standing by. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Lewis Wilson. I played the first Batman on the movie screen in 1943. We battled the Dr. Ducker.
Wow. Well, this is a real honor. Are you?
Well, don't listen to him, Peter. You talk about my briefs. He could have had nipples on his suit, but his briefs were so high you couldn't even tell if he had them.
Well, listen.
That was very droll at him.
So do you guys hang out there? And I assume you're both in heaven if you're in the clouds. You guys pal around up there?
Not really, Keith. He sort of resents me because I originated the role. And not only that, my career thrived after Batman, whereas he was doing movies like The Happy Hooker Goes to Hollywood and Hooper with Burt Reynolds.
Oh, dear.
Well, I don't think any of those comments are very funny, nor are they warranted, Lewis.
Hey, guys, I don't mean to... If I could ask this without starting anything, who do you think could take who? Who would kick some butt there?
I think I'd be able to put him away because of modern weight training. In the 40s, there wasn't any real conditioning.
Right. They just had medicine balls.
To be honest with you, Peter, I think Robert Lowry could have taken both of us. He played Batman in 1949.
Oh, is that true? Is he there too?
He is not. He is not only dead, also dead and dead.
Wow. Well, you guys,
He's double dead.
This is so great having you guys here. I was not expecting this. I just thought Mike Toomey would come on and we'd talk a little Batman, but we got an added bonus. We've got Adam West
and Lewis Wilson.
Lewis Wilson, who both
donned
the cape in that iconic role. This is so exciting.
Pete, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
After I left the role, I went into a wonderful career of acting and directing, and I made some movies in the 90s that appeared on Cinemax.
Is that true?
Yes, I directed and acted in both of them.
Oh, what were they called? Where can we see them? Still in, well,
one of them is called Affair of the Heart, and heart is spelled H-A-R-T. It's about a young model named Josie who takes a trip on a plane and has a magical visit with a fellow passenger, and she's desperately racing to get home and be as a part of my calendar.
Oh.
I'm the director. And I play the director in the movie, and I'm the director.
Oh, my God.
Is he done yet?
So wait a minute.
Is this guy done yet? Yeah. Is he done yet?
Well,
oh my God, Adam! My eyes are rolling back into my cowl.
I can tell you're getting upset, I apologize, but this is kind of interesting. I've never talked to anybody from beyond the grave before, and especially not a guy who played Batman and went on to have a career making, you know, Skinemax films. That's pretty exciting.
Well, I wouldn't call them that, Pete. They were topless, but that was it.
Okay. Well, I meant no disrespect. So Heart, Affair of the Heart, H-A-R-T. And I assume the main character's name is Heart?
Yes, her name is Josie Hart, and she was a model and also a columnist. And in the movie, I'm putting together...
A model and a columnist?
Yes. And in the movie, I'm putting together a calendar. And Josie has to make the deadline because she's December.
Oh, wow. That must be stressful.
In the movie, we're going through every month, hoping that Josie makes it in time.
Oh, that seems like it'd get a little repetitive.
Well, it sounds like a pile of crap, if you ask me. No.
Listen,
why don't you go ask the happy hooker what she's doing?
You guys, listen, I think you're both treasures. Adam and Lewis, thank you for letting Mike channel you. This has been great. And I hope you guys, I don't know who God's favorite is, but I'm sure he likes both of you, or she, for that matter.
I believe God likes Wes is the best. Just ask Jim Morrison. He's up here, and he says the West is the best.
Now, Adam, you're just kind of rambling on, I think, a little bit. I mean,
twinkle, twinkle, little bat, how I wonder where you're at.
That is
the best, baby.
That is Mike Toomey, and he was nice enough. Mike, what? I don't know how you do that, but thank you. Those guys were both great. And I think we broke some radio ground here tonight, thanks to you.
That took a lot out of me.
I was just going to say, does that take, like, you got these other people speaking through you? That must be exhausting.
Oh my God, my head hurts.
So who is your favorite, Mike, out of those two, out of Lewis Winston and Adam West?
Lewis Wilson. Adam West is my absolute favorite.
Don't you think Winston would have been a better last name, though? Lewis Winston. I kind of like the way that sounds better.
Yeah, that would be fine.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that they brought up Robert Lowry, who was also a good Batman.
Yeah, that was kind of a curveball. I wasn't expecting him to say that.
This is the Shaw WAUK. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I travel a lot for comedy. I was in Vegas. Oh, I love Vegas. Vegas airport is my favorite airport. Got off the plane in Vegas. I hear this lady. She's like, drink, smoke, and get laid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was TSA. They know how to party in Vegas. Lots to be grateful for, though. I just celebrated my 5-year wedding anniversary. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. To celebrate, we got a little crazy. We had sex in the car. Yeah, fun for us. Awkward for our Lyft driver.
You ever do this? You ever let somebody call you the wrong name? Yeah, because you just don't feel like correcting them. Like 6 months later, you finally tell me, like, no, my name isn't John, it's Tom. Like, why didn't you tell me that in the beginning? Yeah, I wasn't planning on knowing you this long. Yeah. Like, I always had trouble with math, like the multiplication tables. So what I would do is I would associate the numbers with things that I knew. So take the problem, like 7 times 7. I would think 7 castaways on Gilligan's Island. Who is the star of Gilligan's Island? Bob Denver. Denver's in Colorado. When you think of Colorado, what do you think of? Mountains. Mountains in Spanish is montañas, which is spelled the same as Montana. Who's the most famous Montana? Joe Montana, who played for? The 49ers, yeah.
I'm back with Tom Clark and Stephanie Clark. They are coming to Wisconsin in February to play a couple dates, one in Marinette, Wisconsin on February 3rd, and one in Milwaukee on February 2nd. So, you guys, all right, I'm going to go off the topic of comedy for a second. Tom, Milwaukee was ranked the 5th most friendly city, big city in America, a couple days ago. Do you concur?
Yeah, I would say it's a very friendly city. I think, you know, I have lifelong friends there from, you know, 20 years ago. You know, they're loyal. People in Wisconsin are so loyal and so willing to help you out. I just posted on my Facebook that I was looking to get to 1,000 subscribers on my YouTube, and, you know, probably had 100 people from Wisconsin subscribe.
Oh, nice.
And now I'm at 1,000, like in like 2 hours it happened. And Very cool. I love coming back. My dad just moved out here from Milwaukee.
I love your posts about your dad, by the way. Tom posts his dad a lot on social media, and they're great posts. Very heartwarming and very funny.
He's 97 and a World War II veteran. Jeez. So my joke is he moved out to LA last year to pursue acting.
There's probably not a lot of people in that age range that are, you know, less competitive. I'm doing the math in my head. Your dad's 97. Are you like 71, Tom? You look great. Holy smokes.
They started late. They took a risk.
At least they started. That's good. Steph, what do you think about Milwaukee? You're an outsider. We got Tom's biased opinion. Now, what do you think about Milwaukee?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's more friendly. Well, it was rated top 5. I bet number 1 friendliest.
Oh. Wow.
They're so friendly.
Oh, you're warming up the crowd for February.
I love the cheese curds. I can't get enough. we meet friends out here that are randomly just from Wisconsin, and then they'll just like bring us cheese curds. It's
oh, that's amazing. So great.
That's excellent. You wear a Packer shirt or a Badger shirt, somebody always be like, go Pack.
Yeah.
So
it's just like a fraternity, you know?
It's weird because I'm a transplant to Wisconsin. I lived in Chicago till I was 12 in the city, went up to Marinette, went back to Chicago to DePaul, started stand-up, and now I live back here where I never thought I'd live as an adult. And you're never really, when you're a transplant, people from both places hate you. They're like, oh, Mr. Cheesehead's back. I'm like, no, I grew up. And then I go there and it's like, you know, it's just, you can never win. So I applaud you for actually being from somewhere, Tom. That's a very important.
Well, there's a funny time when we were in Chicago, maybe we were just dating like 2 years, and I got him a Packers sweater, and we were ice skating in Chicago, and he didn't know how to ice skate. And someone is just a Bear fan is just yelling at him, like, fall down. He's like, I'm just trying to balance myself.
Oh, that's funny. Well, it's funny, when I was in LA for all those years, I kind of looked at the Midwest as one place, like Chicago, Wisconsin, maybe because I lived both places, but I was just like, well, it's the same. Like I hung out with most of the people I hung out were from Chicago or Wisconsin. So I don't know. That's kind of
very
funny.
Similar.
Yeah. So do you guys write together? You must.
Yeah, for sure.
Bounce ideas off each other.
Yeah. If she, it's usually like, if she hears me say something off the cuff, she'll be like, that's funny. You should expand on that, or you should write that down.
Nice.
And then she'll run jokes past me, and then we'll just kind of like, you know, riff on it a little bit. But it's always, there's always something we say that we're like, you got to use that in the midst of an argument or whatever.
Stop the argument. That's a great joke. Now, where were we? Yeah.
Who's winning?
Do you guys have a good a road story? We got a couple minutes left here. Any good road stories?
You probably have more.
Well, but I think he means together. Do you mean together?
No, either separately. I know you guys are individuals as well as being happily married.
I'm trying to, I mean, I did write up like my top five bombings shows on my blog. I wrote my top five, and one of them was in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at a place called Snickers. And I'm just, you know, and they make it such a big deal. They pay me like $400 to feature, and I'm just bombing every show. And at one point at the show, this guy just shouts, "Get funny." And I was like, there's no comeback for that. Cause you can't just be funny.
Right.
It's like, I'm not funny already.
I know. I got off. Do you remember Club Tom is the South Side of Chicago? It's called the TNT Comedy Hook.
No, I don't think I ever went there.
Not a great club, but I was just, oh man, muscling through, doing my time, not getting a laugh. And I left the stage, and there was a group of young guys sitting at a table, and I hear one of them lean over to his buddy and go, "Finally." What are you gonna do?
Well, it's always those backhanded compliments where somebody will walk up and be like, "You were funny on the radio."
Yeah, right. Or the one I least love is, "You weren't bad." Oh, thank you. That's what I'm aiming for. Yeah. So we got about a minute left, guys. What we do on this show is talk about what we're watching, movies, TV. We talk a lot of entertainment stuff. Anything you could recommend? What are you guys binging on?
We're loving The Curse with Nathan Fielder,
right,
and Emma Stone.
Showtime. The Curse,
dark comedy. It's a satire kind of based off Joanne and Chip, but like a HGTV couple.
Very
and,
cool.
And sort of their desperation to be like their desperation to create environmentally safe houses at the price of like putting people in danger.
Oh, I love it. That's great. And one more question, a real quick one. Eggnog, delicious or disgusting?
Disgusting. 100%.
Oh, yeah. My people. You're like only the fourth and fifth people this week that have agreed with me. Everyone loves eggnog. I don't get it.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, I agree.
The word nog is not a good.
It sounds borderline obscene. Yeah. So we have a lot to talk about when I see you guys next in February. I can't wait. Thanks for being on the show tonight. We'll talk soon, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Pete.
Anytime. Come back soon. That's Tom Clark and Stephanie Clark, two very funny comedians that will be in Wisconsin in February. And that was the first time I met Steph. Tom is a great guy. Tom Clark is one of those guys that everyone you meet, this is kind of a tough feat, loves the guy. You know, before I even met him, I'm like, I know I'm going to like this guy, so...
Coming up next, an interview with TV personality Chip Chinnery. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Legend of the Phoenix. All ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning? The force from the beginning.
The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Japan's prime minister says the deaths from a major earthquake are numerous and the damage extensive. CBS has been tracing.
Japanese officials say there are currently no signs of any problems at the nation's nuclear power plants, including the Shika nuclear plant, which is closest to the quake's epicenter.
Israel's military says it is withdrawing some troops from Gaza, but its intense campaign there will continue for at least 6 months. CBS's Ian Lee also reports from Tel Aviv.
Sirens rang in the new year in Israel as Hamas fired rockets. The country's Iron Dome missile defense system illuminated the sky with interceptions.
A morning train derailment in California's Bay Area has left at least 9 people injured. KCBS's Karen Creighton.
2 BART stations are closed to service as BART investigates what caused 2 cars to partially derail.
There was also a report of flames underneath of those 2 cars.
BART spokesperson Jim Allison says the Arinda Moraga Fire Department responded to the incident and extinguished the flames.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. New, higher sales taxes are in effect in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. Local officials voted for the increases last summer as part of a deal to increase the amount of shared revenue that state government returns to local communities. There's one state elections official who says he wants a database his peers across the country could share to fight misinformation spread by artificial intelligence. Adrian Fonts is Arizona's Democratic Secretary of State.
Our election officials can have this reference space where they can go learn more, figure more out, and then continue to up their own game.
A recent poll finds most Americans are concerned about the role AI will play in spreading lies in this year's elections. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 20s. And mostly cloudy again tomorrow, high mid-30s. A few flurries tomorrow night, then more clouds and cooler Wednesday, high low 30s. Some sunshine returns on Thursday, highs near 30 degrees. It's 24 right now.
Toasting to the new year? This celebration has been going on around the world for thousands of years. Many revelers include resolutions for the year ahead. It's an opportunity for renewal and to set some goals, whether you focus on health, work, or relationships. Intentions to improve your life is the best possible thing to do for 2024. I'm Terry Barr, and from all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, welcome back to Nightlight. This is Conrad the producer. I hope you're having a happy new year. We have a great interview set up right now. It is Chip Chinnery, TV personality, so we hope you enjoy.
All right, it is my pleasure to welcome to the show now, Chip Chinnery. Hey, Chip.
Pete, are you okay? I'm worried sick over here.
I don't know what's going on. I think it's like I just got Christmas fever, maybe. I just talked to Pete Moore. Maybe that did it. You know Pete.
I just heard the tail end. It's like, Pete Moore, I wish I'd have tuned in. Yeah. It was probably funny.
Well, it's Jennifer Beals' birthday today, Chip, and Pete kissed her in high school. So we had a little fun with that. In a play. It was a very secure location, and Pete was, you know, they were in a show called The Boyfriend, and they kissed, which I think is very sweet.
Pete Moore and I were in a sketch show together. I'm glad he didn't kiss any of us. It was Pardo and Dore and me and Jack Thomas.
It's definitely in his DNA, so it sounds like you got off easy. Chip, welcome to the show. It's great to have
you. Thank
you. Let's get right into it. You got to tell us. And I met you like in what, 1991 or was it 90?
I was just looking it up. We worked April 3rd, 1990 at Nick's in West Lafayette, Indiana on the Purdue University campus. It was a one-nighter. And you were the opener, and I was the middle, and Rob Haney was our headliner.
I was barely, I might have been a college, or yeah, college senior maybe, or my first year out. That's crazy. And yeah. Chip, I will say to the listeners, Chip is a guy, he's taken pictures of everybody, or close to it, everybody you've ever worked with, and you have a...
I kept a journal, and I took photos at every gig from the beginning, so I'm that crazy person with a camera. And so from 1980, it goes back before it, but when I turned pro... I said, I'm going to take a picture at every gig of the people and I'm working with and shots of the stage and life outside at the comedy condo, because this is going to be a really blurry memory if I don't take some pictures. Well, and so I have pictures and I've been posting them on my Facebook page at chipchinnery.com if you want to check them out. I decided, let's just post them all. So I'm posting every weekday a different photo from each gig.
Well, God bless you for doing it, because I'm having a lot of fun. I love your posts, and it's fun to take that walk back down memory lane. Some of the rooms you have, the comedy rooms, give me a pain in my stomach when I see them and a bad memory, but they're mostly good. So your book is called Charging Mount Stand-Up. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
So yeah, I just, I kept my journal and I had taken all these pictures. I said, I'm going to write a book about my 10-year comedy career on the road. And then I got through about the end of the first year. And then I finally Googled how long a book should be. And I realized that I had my book. There it is. We're finished. It's my first year on the road. And I put it out, and it's on Amazon. Yeah, it's doing great. People are liking it. And it's from, you can get it at Amazon. You can get it at chipchinnery.com. You can, anyway, it's a day by day, you know, just what life was like on the road. So if you're into comedy or stand up or traveling salesman, because basically that's what we were doing, is going town to town selling our jokes to people.
Way to de-sexy the whole industry. Thanks for that, Chip. I'm a vacuum cleaner salesman now, according to Chip.
One club put us in a hotel room in, anyway, they put us next to the sales office at 8:30 in the morning. They were chatting and I knocked on the wall like, what are you guys doing? Then they knocked back. And afterward, I got out and said, what's going on? Well, we always put the comics there because, you know, we just figure that's the room that they stay up the latest and we don't care about you. Anyway. Right. It was,
or you get the room like that's 4.5 miles from the elevator. It's like the last one the hotel had, and they have a deal with the comedy club.
Yeah, so many, they can have that room, and that's it. We don't need them near the other people, the paying customers.
So I had no idea when, like, I met you, and then we did the Johnny Walker contest together in Chicago at the Improv. You ended up staying with us a few times. I had no idea you were going to be this big successful author. And then you even visited me in Marinette. You were coming through several years ago. So
yeah,
this thing,
yeah,
we've been able to, keep this thing going.
We miss you at the monthly poker game too, ever since you moved from Los Angeles.
I know. That's honestly, I miss more than anything my friends and playing poker with you guys. That's the toughest thing about being out of LA and the weather, but okay, we can, that's a book too.
It's a memoir. It's a look in front of and behind the curtain. So if you want to know stories about life on the road, and if you're curious about it, it's all in there. The good, the bad, and all warts and all. And I didn't have to make anything up. It was just amazing how much life happened in that first year. So, and working with famous people, final chapter, I had a 17-year-old opening act, open for me over two different weekends. He opened 8 shows and he became Dave Chappelle. So
get out of here.
He was David Chappelle, and he was a 17-year-old kid, and he was good. And then I wrote in my journal what I thought of his possibilities, his future in comedy.
And what was it?
I thought I assessed him as having a very likable, big smile, nice energy. I predict TV and movies.
Whoa.
Yeah, I predict TV and movies. He's so young. That's what I wrote. And I took a picture from my journal that I put in there. And I have pictures, you know, Dave and I worked at this diner in Alexandria, Virginia. And so I have a picture of us all standing, our group photo that I'd always take every gig. We're standing next to the salad bar with Lee J. Nelson, the booker, and Jeff Hatz, the other act.
Jeff Hatz. I know Jeff Hatz. He's a great guy.
Yeah, funny dude.
Very funny dude. Oh, that's so cool. My guest is Chip Chinnery. He is a former stand-up comic, a very successful actor, and now a successful author. His book is called Charging Mount Stand-Up. Where can people get it, Chip?
At Amazon.com. You've heard of that. Or at ChipChinnery.com. And if you want to see any of my acting clips, I've got about over 100 of the TV shows and movies and commercials I've done up there. So
let's ask you about that. So I had earlier in the show, I had a guy on that owns an Indian restaurant in Wauwatosa where Jerry Seinfeld ate this past weekend when he was performing in Milwaukee. And the guy was a really good guest. He said Jerry was cool. Seinfeld was his favorite show. You were on Seinfeld. Can you talk about that experience?
Sure. I was in the third to last episode called The Maid. It was when George wanted to be called T-Bone. And I was one of the office guys at Kruger Industries. And at one point, I was the only one speaking on the TV show Seinfeld. I said turkey sandwich.
I remember.
So I can't walk into Subway anymore without getting mobbed.
Can't even go to the bathroom.
It was a third to last show, but it was, when you think about it, it was the final studio show because the next show was the Puerto Rican Day Parade outside and then the finale. So this was the final event. This is the one that all the bigwigs came to. And at the clip show, you see people taking a bow at the end of the show. And I was in that lineup. So it was a great thing. I was so excited to get in right under the wire because I thought of it. This is a show that's going to run forever. It's going to be like MASH. And I'm sure somewhere right now, somebody's sitting there watching MASH going, hey, Grandpa's MASH is on where he plays the MP. So now I'll be in people's living rooms for a while, I believe.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You were also on Curb and you were on Friends. And how was Friends? What was that like?
Friends was great. And by the way, David Schwimmer, the greatest guy in the world, just super gentleman, came right up to me and said, hey, I'm David. Welcome to the show. And that was so relaxing because, you know, you're a new guy on a big show. And my scene was with David Schwimmer and Matt LeBlanc. They both worked. It was the episode where they worked at Joey got a job as a tour guide at Ross's museum. And the white coats didn't sit with the blue coated tour guide, the white coated doctors. And I was one of the white coated doctors when we all started confessing our innermost insecurities. And Sherry Shepherd was in the episode and she was a blue coat who said something about not having her breasts weren't real. Right. And then they're like, oh, whoa, whoa. And then I stood up. My name's Scott. Hi, Scott. I need to take my need to flip the light switch off 70 times before I leave room or my family will die. And I was like, oh. So that was so fun. Great.
How cool is it to be on? So you're on both these humongous shows in the 90s. And that you can say, because most shows you go, I had a walk-on role on that show. You can point to the episode and people, they were such popular shows, they know exactly what episode you're talking about. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I was looking the other day, it's like, our buddy Jack said, Chip's a commercial actor. And then I looked it up. I go, I've done more. Yes, I've done 76 national commercials, but I've done 84 episodes of TV or films. And that was... looking back, I'm like, wow, I guess I have had a good run. This is fantastic.
Yeah, I remember.
I'm the best
one
person
year,
in the world.
It seemed like you were booking something every week. It was incredible. So you were a semifinalist on Last Comic Standing. Was that weird competing against other comedians, many of whom you probably thought were really funny?
Yeah, it was. I knew it was a reality show. So I'm like, this isn't a comedy contest. They're casting a reality show. So in my mind, I was like, I'm one of the older guys because I was like 40, something like that. And so I'm like, it'll be either me or Bill Dwyer or Doug Benson. But Doug also crosses over into the slacker category. Right. So I'm like, it'll be between me and Bill Dwyer. And Bill was the one that moved on to the finals. I got to the semifinals. But it was fun. It was fun to do.
That's pretty cool. you mentioned Jeff Hatz before. I don't know. Yeah. Rick Messina is Drew Carey's manager and Tim Allen's manager. He had a boatload of money. He built a Wiffle Stadium at his house in Encino. And Steve Segrin used to take me up there. And
you. liked playing wiffle ball.
I loved playing wiffle ball. And I found my skill in life was playing wiffle ball. I was very good at wiffle ball. I was so good at wiffle ball, Chip. People would come up to me. We had this big tournament. We played the Anderson brothers from St. Louis, and I struck six of them out in a row. And people were coming up to me going, "Did you play in college?" I'm like, "Wiffle?" I'm like, "No, wiffle ball, this doesn't translate." Yeah, this is a useless skill that I had a lot of fun with. But anyway, Jeff Hatz would go up there, and Rick even built an announcer booth. Like, that's how seriously they took it. He would do announcing, and he was so funny. And I didn't even know he was a stand-up before that. Hey, Chip, I have a few more things I want to ask you. I want to ask you, you've had such a cool career. Can you hang for like 60 seconds while we do some business here? I appreciate that. Okay. Chip Chinnery is my guest. We're going to talk to him. He's worked with Steve Carell. You have a great quote from your website I want to ask you about. And just a really hardworking, this is the blue collar side of acting is Chip Chinnery. He's worked his butt off. He's resilient. And he has a side hustle to prove as much. Chip, tell us about your other venture.
Chip's Money Tips. It's my chipsmoneytips.com. It's money tips in a candy-coated shell, because most people are stupid with their money, not you, other people. But it's, it's little tips on how to get free money, how to get the best savings rate, how to get a credit card that gives you $900 worth of bonus points. It's really fantastic, if I may say.
Yeah, it's a great site, and it you make it kind of funny, you know, with you add humor to it, which, I mean, come on, with finances and stuff like that. I think you could add laughter to anything in life, but you do a great job with that too. And that's just chipsmoneytips.com, right?
Yeah. Chipsmoneytips.com. And there is a big credit card offer out there right now that it's a $900 bonus for them from the Chase Inc. card. So if you guys are interested, come over to chipsmoneytips.com and click on Chip's favorite credit card offers.
I could use a little walking around.
That's a little annoying, that little voice I did there.
No, it's very funny. Okay, so I saw on your website you were in some dramatic shows. Well, you're like a testament to persistence and hard work. What do you tell people, Chip, that want to be actors? You know, you must meet people back. You're from Ohio back there, or even in L.A., young people that say, "How'd you do it? What do I do?" How do you even tell them where to start? Because I struggle with that.
Yeah, I have the same. You may be in the same situation. I have people. I just had a coffee last week with a friend of a friend's son who wants to be an actor and is out here, and he's 25. And it's like, oh, so I've been living out here longer than you've been alive. Great. But I just say, your bottom line is you have to really do it. You have to want to do it, because it's a pain. If you don't succeed, it's tough. I know so many people in their 50s who are broke, and you have to have side hustles that suddenly become your income if you're not working. So it's difficult. But if you really want to do it, just like stand up, you gotta write, you gotta perform. And today's day and age, as an actor, if you want to be in it, you have a phone that's better than any video camera from 10 years ago, 20 years ago. You can shoot something, edit it, upload it, and have a link to share with people anytime you want. You can use TikTok, all the social media platforms to promote it. So you don't have to live in Los Angeles. You don't have to take a class. You don't have to become, oh, I have a college degree in fine arts. No, just do it. Write it, shoot it, see if it's good. Get together with other creative people who are interested in the same thing, and just start getting better and better and better. You're not going to be great at the beginning, but you have a little twinkle, and just keep blowing on that ember. Get it going, build it into a fire. You could become the next thing.
Who are some of your favorite people to work the road with, Chip, and who are some of your favorite comics?
Boy, besides Pete Schwabba.
Thank you.
Andy Kindler is always fun because he's funny off stage. Yeah, Brett Leake was always funny, very funny writer. Yeah, he was very
That's
very
so
nice
cool. Well, Chip, keep up the great work. Thank you so much, buddy, for taking the time tonight.
Bye.
Stay tuned for more Nightlight after the break. Coming up, corporate comedian Greg Schwemm joins us. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to the Shaw, WAUK, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into something new or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We don't need anything at Macy's. And she goes, I know. And I go, well, why are we continuing this conversation? And she goes, well, here's the thing. I got an email from Macy's and it said, today only, if you spend $100 at Macy's, you'll save $50. I said, that is so weird, because I too got an email from Macy's today. Mine said, if you don't spend anything at Macy's today, you'll save $100, or $1,000, or $1,000,000. You just tell us how much money you want to keep, and we at Macy's will make it happen.
Those are the comedy stylings of Greg Schwemm, who is
the
my guest.
Comedy stylings in front of an audience of tens, as you can tell.
People that appreciate humor don't need a laugh track, though, Greg. They get it.
That's right.
That's great stuff. So let me ask you, how did you make the jump from stand-up comic to nationally syndicated writer? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, you know, my background was journalism. So actually, I made the jump from writer
to comedy.
And then just sort of added it. Cause yeah, I was a journalism major at Northwestern. That's where I went to school. And I did comedy on the side, but I thought, you know, make my parents happy, I should be a journalist. So I moved to Florida and that's what I did for 5 years. I was a newspaper reporter for 2.5 years. Then I was a television reporter for the 2.5.
I forgot about that.
But I always did. So writing's in my background. It's in my blood. But I always did stand up, and eventually stand up became more fun to do than journalism. And that's why I quit that and moved to Chicago to do it, be a comedian full time. But then I had a friend who I went to college with who rose very quickly through the ranks at the Chicago Tribune. And he was the one who said to me, he says, we're looking for a humor columnist. Would you be interested? And that was back in like 2010. So wow. I was like, yeah. They're really great over there. They let me write about pretty much whatever I want, whenever I want. And it's been a lot of fun.
So you worked clean.
Yes.
Primarily. And was that a conscious decision or just something that kind of happened organically?
No, that was a conscious decision. I got schooled on that very early. When I first started doing stand-up, I was 16.
Oh my
and
gosh.
That's the first time I went into a comedy club, the Comedy Cottage in Rosemont, Illinois. You remember that place?
Sadly, yes.
Okay. Yeah, yes, we do. So, and I got on stage and being very nervous, I let loose a few F-bombs. By the way, I just saw The Road Dog, and you nailed your supporting actor scene. Line about what the F was that?
It was fun to swear in a movie. I like to swear.
Did you practice that in front of the mirror just to get the right cadence? And do I accentuate the F
I was using expletives I heard so many club owners use after I got off stage. So it was a pretty easy sense memory.
You weren't even acting, Pete.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, so I came off stage one night and this guy comes up to me and he says, I think you're really funny. But he says, you're 16, you look 12. And he goes, every time you swear, he goes, it's not believable. That's what he said to me.
Oh, wow.
He goes, I really like your material. But he goes, you're swearing just to swear and it's not you.
And I took that to heart, and I don't look 12 anymore, but wow. I really thought, okay, I gotta write without relying on profanity. And it's just stuck with me ever since. And I mean, nobody, I will say one thing. I don't think I've ever not gotten a gig because somebody said you're too clean.
Yeah. No, good point.
You know? I mean, a lot of comics lose gigs because you're too dirty, you're too X-rated, you're too this.
Or don't appear on TV because of that. Yeah, I think you can't go wrong.
Exactly. Or yeah. definitely corporate gigs, yeah, too. I mean, you have to be very, very clean. And most of the venues that I work now, I do corporates now. I've started to get into some cruise ship work. And same thing, you know, you gotta work clean, because you got to appeal to the masses.
Yeah.
And the masses don't necessarily, some of the masses like dirty, but, and really, Pete, if you look at the comics that are really selling out, you know, that are playing arenas, I mean, not just theaters, the ones that are selling 15,000 yeah. seaters, you know, the Gaffigans, the Seinfelds,
Brian Regan,
Nate Bargatze,
yeah.
Is the latest example of that. Maniscalco, those guys work clean.
Right. No, that's a great point. The Comedy Angels spoke and you listened. So good for you. It served you well. So that's excellent. Greg, I really appreciate you being here tonight. Thanks so much for being on the show, and keep up the good work.
My pleasure.
I will keep looking for columns and asking you back if you're okay with that.
I would love to come back. It's always great to see you. It's great to catch up.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a great night and thanks so much.
All right. Happy holidays.
You too. All right. That's Greg Schwemm, nationally syndicated columnist and former and current stand-up comedian. So thank you everyone for your text. Hey, Conrad, do we have time? It's Steven Spielberg's birthday and we didn't play a clip. Do we have time?
Yeah, we do.
All right, let's fire. This is Steven Spielberg. He's 77 today. This is a clip from Catch Me If You Can, where Leonardo DiCaprio plays a young con artist and he's really good. And this is a scene with Tom Hanks where he's pretending to be law enforcement.
Hands on your head.
Oh, that's the new IBM Selectric.
Put your hands on your head.
Print type in 5 seconds.
Shut up.
Pop out the ball.
Put your hands on your head. Put your hands.
You know, he's got over 200 checks here.
Hands on your head.
Drafting. He even has little payroll envelopes addressed to himself.
Put it down. Drop it.
Relax. You're late, all right? My name's Alan, Barry Allen, United States Secret Service. Your boy just tried to jump out the window. My partner has him in custody.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What, you think the FBI are the only ones on this guy? I mean, come on. Come on, he's dabbling in government checks here. I've been following a paper trail on this guy for months now. Hey, you mind taking that gun out of my face? Please, really. I mean, it makes me nervous.
You see some credentials.
Yeah, sure. Take my whole wallet. You want my gun, too? Come over here, take my gun. Hey, look, just do me a favor. Take a look outside. Look out the window. My partner's walking him to the car as we speak. Look. Old guy almost pissed in his pants when I came through the door. He jumped right through the window onto the hood of my car. Hey, Murph.
Yeah, call the LAPD again. I don't want people walking through my crime scene.
That is a scene from Catch Me If You Can. Leonardo DiCaprio outsmarting Tom Hanks' character. So great. Happy birthday, Steven Spielberg. He's really coming into his own as a filmmaker. Keep those films coming. I want to thank you for listening to Nightlight tonight. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight.
Stay tuned for the next hour of the show. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer.
That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.